Welcome to Inside Voice. Join hosts, friends, and voice actors Louise Porter, that's me, and Brad Grahowski as we navigate the freelance world while simultaneously being massive introverts. We ask the age-old question, how do you put yourself out there when literally the last thing you want to do is put yourself out there? Find out what earth-shattering conclusions we come to on this week's edition of Inside Voice. Hi, Brad.
Louise, how are
you? How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. It's episode 10.
Yeah, I'm excited to catch up with you a little bit. See
yeah,
what's
totally.
Going on. Episode 10.
Episode 10. I know. That's. I feel like it's a little bit of a milestone, a wee
yeah.
one. And then you also had sent me a message yesterday saying that we had over 500 downloads, which
yeah.
is amazing. I wonder if it's just one person downloading my partner, maybe. I should ask him.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it's just him like hitting the download button
yeah.
500 times.
Oh.
But it's nice to see, like, it's pretty evenly distributed across the episodes too. It's not like we've had one breakout episode. So
okay,
I feel like that means that the people who are listening to us are interested in kind of listening through, you know what I mean? I'm not saying anybody's listening to all the episodes. I can't tell that, but it looks like pretty even distribution. So I think that's nice.
That's cool. Okay, so we're remaining relevant at least, and maybe slightly entertaining.
Hopefully. You know what? We're entertaining to us.
That's all that matters. Okay, so this week we were gonna do a new thing because you had a couple of emails, which was great from listeners
messages,
and. Yeah, a couple of people that you know, which is fun. So we wanted to introduce a new segment called The Mailbag.
The Mailbag.
Yeah, The Mailbag.
That was my nickname in college.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I just, that popped into my head and I couldn't not. Oh man.
I love it. Even if it's true, I love it.
oh boy. Yeah.
So go ahead and reach into that mailbag, Brad. I'm gonna add the sound effect.
Oh, I like
in
that.
Post,
okay,
I think.
Okay, we'll do that. I'm gonna reach into
it.
The mailbag. Here
All right,
we go.
Brad, reach into that mailbag.
Choosing two random messages.
Two random messages.
Randomly choosing two messages.
The only two messages we've ever received. Okay.
So, yeah. So I heard my friend Anton H. Gill sent me an email, really nice email, just with some encouraging words and appreciation. Really nice. And he went so far as to offer some topics, suggestions for the podcast, which we loved. In fact, we grabbed one of them right off the bat, and his suggestion was pros and cons of working from home, including self-motivation, isolation, and staying productive. And it is not a coincidence that that is the theme of our show today.
It is absolutely not a coincidence. And thank you, Anton Gill, for messaging us, emailing us, and providing those. He's given us a couple other ones too.
Yeah.
So we're absolutely going to do those. So anybody else, if you have ideas or questions or anything,
or just want to engage
get
with
in
us.
Touch. Yeah.
Yeah. At connect at The Inside Voice Podcast.com.
I've got to remember to do that and remember to do it seamlessly. And it'll be in the show notes.
Yeah.
Is anything in the show notes? Do you actually put anything in?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says right there, connect at The Inside Voice Podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So that was, and he also, and just a teaser for the end of the show today, he left some closing tagline suggestions that we're going to share. So
I feel like we should just do one of his this week and then the other one next week.
Oh, yeah. Let's
Yeah,
milk
just
it.
To draw
Let's
out the mystery a little it. Bit. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what we should do.
All right.
Okay, so I've got...
He also had a recommendation because we talked a little bit about how I was looking at Moxie as a tool for interacting with my direct clients.
Right.
And he recommends... or suggests that I look at HoneyBook.
HoneyBook.
I haven't looked at it yet. I will be honest.
I've heard of
so
HoneyBook.
So this isn't
I've
an endorsement.
Heard other people talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. But Anton said that it had crossed his radar and he hasn't had time to assess it either. But he did want to share that as an option.
Okay. So great.
I just thought it would bring that
to
up.
To hear how that transpires. Maybe he'll give us some more intel on that as time goes on.
Yeah.
Cool.
We'd also, the second message we got was from Lauren Michelle Smith, who is in our Sandwich Land group.
Yeah,
the Sandwich Land.
I'm not in that group, but
you're
you
not
are.
Because you don't live in Sandwich Land. I call
That's right.
So there's a huge group, active group of voice actors that meets that lives south of D.C., like in the Northern Virginia, Alexandria area. And they were always posting about events. And I'm in the group online, but I could never make it all the way down. It's just a long, long drive down there and back on a week night evening or so I started meeting people in north of DC but south of Baltimore, because I live close to Baltimore, but between DC and Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I thought I started like collecting people that I knew that lived in this area, and I started to call this like Sandwich Land because it's sandwiched in between the two beltways.
Oh, right? Like I just automatically assumed, maybe because I love sandwiches so much, that it had something to do with like you being in an area famous for some sandwiches.
There probably
are
some pretty
good. I was like, oh my God, there's somewhere
good.
In Baltimore called Sandwich Land. I've got to go there.
I bet
Give
there
me
are
all
places
the sandwiches.
With really good sandwiches in between Baltimore and DC beltways, but that's not why.
So in not, Sandwich Land, there is also good sandwiches, but it's because it's sandwiched between, anyways.
Yeah,
all right.
That's right.
This is okay.
Yeah. And there's about a half a dozen of us, and we have a chat group and a Facebook chat group, and then we try and meet once a month in person and
nice.
Just to socialize and share thoughts and ideas, and it's nice. It's just nice to have some local people, and we're kind of all working together.
Yeah, that's rad.
But Lauren Michelle messaged me, and...
Why don't you read us that message?
Yeah, and I checked with her to make sure she was okay with this. She said, I'm currently listening to episode number 8 and can totally relate to how I felt when I first got to VO Atlanta, which we talked about. She said, I have to say, I didn't realize until I was there that I have social anxiety layered into my introversion and shyness. Oof. That's what it says. Oof. Got hit by that like a Mack truck. Really appreciate you and Louise doing this. Also loved when you spent time discussing the different types of introverts. So
really,
I thought that was really nice.
And that's really, really nice. Thank you so much, Lauren Michelle, for that message.
Yeah. So that's the mailbag. And you can, if you want to find out more about Anton, you can go to antonhgill.com. And Lauren Michelle is at lmscreative.com. So
awesome.
Check them out. They're both great, fantastic voice actors in their own right. So, yeah.
I have just lost where... Hang on one second. I might have to cut this out when I'm editing because I'm not seeing Zencastr on my thing. There it is. Okay. I panicked and was like, are we still recording? And we are.
Yeah.
That's what happens when I switch between windows and don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Your waveform is way bigger than mine this time, so...
Is it? That's because I turned my gain up. It's the volume wars. Hopefully I'm not like clipping or anything. We'll see.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
And if I am, it'll be Irvin Russell to the rescue, my partner, the sound engineer, who I have to All call right, on we're... every now and then
yeah.
to help us out of little pickles. Okay, so back to Anton's suggestion that we pulled randomly out of our weekly mailbag. The and again, pros and cons. What?
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and again, if you want to interact with us, connect at The Voice, theinsidevoicepodcast.com. I also want to say, if you enjoy what we're doing or you're getting anything out of it, you're finding any value in it, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts and leave a review. That is super helpful for us in finding more audience members, so that instead of 500 downloads total, we can start to hit 500 downloads an hour.
Yeah, that's where we... And also, I just want to piggyback onto that message and say that even if you don't find any value and you actually don't like this podcast, but you just feel sorry for us, please like, subscribe, rate, review. Just lie about it. That'd be great.
All right. On to this week's topic that we, again, want to thank Anton for. What we're talking about today is...
the pros and cons of working from home, including self-motivation, isolation, and staying productive. So should we just maybe share each of our pros and cons lists? I came up with one. Yeah. Okay, so my pros list was, I basically came up with, I think, five for each, so as not to drag it out too much here. So pros list, no shoulder tapping. So by this, I mean, like, when I worked in my previous career, it was just a lot of interruptions in the day. So you're kind of way more in charge of that. Obviously, you're going to have messages coming through from clients and other stuff, but you get to be in charge. So if I'm, let's say I'm recording a long form project, or I want to do a sort of marathon hour or two of auditioning or whatever the long task is, I can turn off notifications. I can turn off my phone. So no interruptions.
And I can attest
if you don't.
That you do that, because I try and tap your shoulder sometimes. And an hour later, you're like, hey, man, sorry, I was recording. And I'm like, that's cool.
Yes. So you have full control over shoulder tapping. In environments where you're working for someone else, you don't have any control. Even if you work from home, you basically constantly have to be available. And I find that's really difficult for me personally. It's just really hard to stay on task. It can be stressful and aggravating, to be frank. Second point on a pro is work-life balance. You're also kind of more in charge of a... Hello?
Yep.
Oh, it's a weird beep. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So work-life balance, I don't think I need to add anything to that. I'm just going to say work-life balance as a pro. No commute. So this saves you time and money, allows you to probably get more rest and more work done.
I have that one.
Eating at home. This sounds like really basic, but I feel like when you work in an office environment, even if you... or sort of someone who might even be on track with, like, packing a lunch and stuff, it's way more tempting when you're out in an office environment to, like, go out for coffee and muffins or whatever with your coworkers, or go out for lunch or grab a sandwich somewhere. So I think you can just have, like, a more healthy, balanced diet when you are at home, staying at home to eat. And you're going to save money doing that too. It's a huge pro for me. And then the last one is, you set your priorities and goals for each day, week, month, year, whatever. So,
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
What are your pros?
We have some overlap, which is cool. It's like Boggle, where you don't get to count the words that you both got. I have flexibility. I like that if I... And I come from, I had been working from home for my day job for 15 years, right? But it was very set schedule. I had to be
Except you went in on Tuesdays, you went into DC, right?
Yeah, that's right. But I would be up to log in by 8 a.m. and I would log out at 5 a.m. And I was at home, but I didn't really have flexibility in my schedule.
Do you mean
but
log out at 5 p.m.?
5 p.m., yeah.
it's like, that's strange.
It was a really long day. But now, you know, if I am up till 1 or 2 a.m. working on an audiobook or a big project or something, I can let myself sleep in a little bit in the morning to make up for it, and I'm fine. You know, I can manage my schedule is what I mean.
Yeah.
If I need to run out at lunch or schedule a meeting with, you know, an acquaintance or
go to a doctor's appointment, whatever. Yeah.
Availability for my family, which is huge for me. I was able to take my son to a doctor's appointment yesterday, and it's not a thing. It's not a problem, you know, and I love that flexibility.
Yeah. Like today, and I do, just to piggyback on that too, I try most Fridays to do a half day or at least finish early in the afternoon. Then I go hiking, usually with a good friend of mine.
Yeah, I love that.
So that's a work-life balancing too. But keep going.
Comfort, I put, in that you can kind of choose where you want to work in your house, and you can choose if you want to work from your bed. You know what I mean? Depending on what you're working on.
Totally, you know. Yes.
So
okay.
a lot more options for comfort. More efficient and effective. I think this approaches the shoulder tapping. Like when I used to go into the office in DC, or when I had jobs where I had to go in, I got so little done because everybody wanted to talk. And of course, everybody's procrastinating whatever. And you know what I mean? So
you can get inundated and it can become so counterproductive. And then the other thing is meetings.
Yeah, boy.
Aren't meetings like so often such a huge waste of time? Like things that could be literally put in two sentences in an email.
Yeah, the could have been an email hashtag. Ugh. Absolutely. I also had no commute. As someone who had a 2-hour each way commute on Tuesdays for 15 years.
Yeah.
I absolutely appreciate that. I have people envy you. I don't know if that's a pro or not, but I thought
it's a funny one.
I like to be envied, and people do. Like, people are like, "Oh, I'd love to be able to work from home." I heard that much more prior to COVID, because I think during COVID, a lot more people ended up working from home. But
yeah,
lunch is better. So that's exactly what you were saying. So not only like you can, when you have to go into the office, you can take your lunch with you, but then it's, you know, you're eating a sandwich that you made 4 hours ago. Like when you work from home. Yeah. When you eat a sandwich, you just made it. So
I know. I can just make a nice omelet or something, too, sometimes. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
We do tend to pre-prepare the night before for our lunch, like for my partner's lunch as well. But if I don't do that, I can easily cook something hot. So that's nice.
Yeah. We cook dinner a lot, and we make enough so that we have some
leftovers,
at least for lunch the next day, which helps a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Relaxed to dress, even though I'm someone who gets up and I get dressed in the morning. I don't put on a shirt and tie.
I don't. But, like I'm often in my pajamas until I give myself a hard stop at the end of the day and I go for a really long walk. But I'm often in my pajamas at the end of the day still.
Yeah. And so I put it as a pro that you can be, even though mentally I know I'm much more productive. I feel better about myself and I get more work. I'm more attentive to my work if I get up and get dressed.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it doesn't make a difference to me at all.
Huh.
At all.
I just feel so sloppy. You know what I mean? I feel like
I'm not taking
my life seriously if I'm not at least.
I am.
And again, I'm not talking about putting on a shirt and tie or anything, but what's that?
Oh, no, I was listening.
Okay. You were ragging on me again, weren't you?
I was going to, but...
I didn't hear what you said, but I'll hear it when we play it back.
I'm not in my pajamas right now, but for the last episode, I was, when we were, had our first guest, Rob Smith, which was super fun, by the way. Thanks again,
Rob.
Yeah,
that was a great...
I was in my pajamas
it was so nice
for
talking
that.
To him.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Anyway.
And then the last one I have is tax write-offs. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because you can write off part of your studio space and internet and phone usage and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. You get to use your gross income before any taxes come off. So rather than getting taxed on, like rather than only spending your net income, you can spend your gross income, and then what you spend on your business isn't taxed. Just
that's
to
right.
give it another way of phrasing tax write-off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the Canadian perspective.
I don't think so. I think that's the Louise trying to make sense of things that feel complicated to me personally, and I have to rephrase them in a way that makes sense to me. And that's the way that I have come up with.
I like it.
To organize it in my
brain. It makes sense to you. It makes me happy.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, man.
So that's what I had for pros. So okay, what do you cool. have for cons?
For cons?
And what's funny is I think one of your pros I think I have on my con list, but now I don't remember which one it was. Okay, go ahead. Go.
Oh, interesting. Well, the only one I can see on my pros list that might have been a con was that you set the priorities and goals for each day, week, month. That was my only pro that wasn't. Yeah. So I had no shoulder tapping, work-life balance, no commute, eating at home, and you set the priorities. Those are my five pros.
Okay.
Okay, anyways.
Yeah, I think it was that one. Well, okay, go ahead. We'll get into it. Yeah.
Okay, so my five cons. And I had to think about my cons list, and I had way more pros than these five. Uh-huh. I had to think about the cons list for quite a bit to come up with even five.
Oh.
Because okay. I just find that it's just the best thing that I've ever done. So it's really hard for me to think about the negative parts because there just aren't that many in my
yeah,
mind.
That's fair. And I will say some of my cons are potential cons, right? Like
yeah.
they could be
yeah.
a problem. Yeah.
Okay. So these are my five cons. No steady paycheck.
Is that from working from home or is that freelancing in general?
Sorry. So that's not from working from home. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So maybe, okay, that's okay. So I'll just add a caveat that's
yeah.
being a freelancer and working from home.
Yeah, that's fair.
Running your own business.
Yeah.
So there's no steady paycheck. You're on a roller coaster mm-hmm. all the time. So yeah. That's can be terrifying. Then I had, you can easily both overwork or underwork.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you just, mm-hmm. you're the only person you're accountable to for the most part, unless you have a partner as well. And then you have financial accountability with someone, right? Or a
sure.
family that you have to support. It can get lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally get that lonely just because I'm an introvert, you know? Yeah. So it doesn't affect me that much, though it can, I think, sometimes. Number four, I had, you need to constantly self-assess because there are no higher-ups to give you, like, you know, constructive feedback. And mm-hmm. When I say that, I'm talking even beyond, let's say, the voiceover performance aspect, because I think we all sort of have this idea of voice, you know, you're a voice actor. So what are you going to need to self-assess? You're just going to need to be working on your performance. That's not, that is a small,
I laugh at
teeny
you,
tiny,
idea.
Yeah, a teeny tiny part of it.
Because you're building a business. And,
you're building yeah. a business. So your self-assessment has to reach so far beyond that. I mean, performance is going to be a major part of it, especially in the beginning. But this is everything from, you know, how you take care of your clients to how you're building your business and how you're tracking
and managing
things
your money and
managing your money.
And,
yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And then the fifth one I had is that there's no one to congratulate you on your wins.
I like that.
Right. So,
and I
apologize
that.
Because I realize this isn't all about working from home anymore. This cons list,
yeah.
because maybe I don't have any cons about working from home. I don't think I do. it's mostly just about working for yourself.
I do like that one though. Although I guess if you work from home, but you have, like I did, like you work from home, but you have a job
yeah.
with a company.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was definitely, there were those things.
Yeah. Definitely think my cons list is more when you're self-employed, freelancing, et cetera. Yep. No one to congratulate you on your wins. So it's like, what, you know, you're sort of just in a little echo chamber.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And that's why it's important to do like you and I have done and with Troy and with other friends to mm-hmm. make sure you're building a network of people you trust and you like and that you can share with and that you can kind of share what you're doing and hold each other accountable and get excited for each other.
Yeah.
Can I give one thought that I have on that? And I see if I can do this without sounding judgmental. And I'm not talking about anybody specific, but if you're building a relationship like that with an acquaintance that's becoming a friend, something that is hard for me to do, but I think is valuable to do.
Yeah.
If the person that you're talking to has a win or a loss, right? Like either something really good happened or something really bad and they share that with you.
Yeah.
don't make sure you don't use that as an opportunity to share your own win or loss. Like, give them the moment to like be excited or be upset.
Yeah.
Because the minute you say, oh, well, I had a success too, then that's pulling the spotlight away from that moment that they need. Like, they need that or they wouldn't have brought it up.
That's a really, really great point, Brad. And I think it's a lesson in effective listening skills and empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm not going to pretend I'm awesome at that. Like, I struggle with that too. But I just know that I've seen between two people that can happen, or people might have done that to me. And so I'm just offering that as a thought.
It's a form of hijacking. It's like turning the attention back onto yourself. And I think we should all be really mindful not to do that. And to take people seriously when they're struggling too, like, mm-hmm. don't gloss it over and be like, it'll be okay. I mean, not that, like, honestly, I'm sure I've done that to you, Brad. You got this, like those kind of platitudes. I mean, I feel like I mean it when I say that, but I don't think it's always that helpful either. Like, sometimes people just need to be heard.
But sometimes I do need that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I know I've had moments where I've been like, man, I don't know if this is going to work. This month is going really slow. Do I need to find a job doing something, and I've been able to share that with you and have you tell me, Brad, shut up, dude. You just need to keep going. We got this. We're good. And that's super valuable. So it's hard to know. And that also doesn't mean there aren't times when, for example, you and I might be talking and we're like, okay, cool. What wins have you had? What wins have I had? That's different. That's like a mutual conversation that we're having, right? Like,
And I feel like maybe it depends on how well you know the person too, and what kind of relaxed discourse or not so relaxed thing you have. Like, if it's sort of at the beginning stages, like I feel like being mindful of making sure that you're really, you know, listening and being empathetic is hugely important.
What?
I'm glad you brought it up. It's great. What? Sorry, you're still there.
So, my cons. You ready?
Yeah.
And again, we had some overlap. I have that it's hard. It can be hard to develop a routine if you're working from home. Because of all that flexibility and all of that freedom that you have, it can be hard to stay focused. Like, if you're really easily sidetracked or procrastinating or whatever, and you know, there are a million other things you could be doing other than mm-hmm. working on your business, other than auditioning, other than, you know, working on your marketing.
I tend to procrastinate the things that are the hardest for me. We talked about this in another episode mm-hmm. where you said you would encourage your son to work on the hard thing, which I think was drawing mm-hmm. hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was such a great tip, is like force yourself to work on the hard things. I need to do that more often.
Yeah. And just to remind so my son, when he was younger, he's 20 now, but when he was younger and really learning how to draw and illustrate, and he would always hide hands, as most, you know, middle school, early high school kids do.
And AI is doing, apparently.
Yeah. Well, AI should do more.
Yeah.
I said, you know, what I like to do is figure out what the hardest thing, if I'm trying to learn a new set of skills, figure out what the hardest thing is and do that the most. So I encouraged him to just draw hands, and he filled pages of his notebooks with hand drawings, and it was super effective, right? It got him to the point where, that's what that reference was to.
It's great. Love it.
So what I also have, you have to be self-motivated, and that's kind of what I was getting into also. Like, you have to, there's no one looking over your shoulder to make sure you're getting the job done. And you have to, if you struggle with that, then it's hard. And I love voiceover, and I want so badly to succeed at this that self-motivation hasn't really been a problem with me.
Same with me.
In fact, I have the opposite. I have to force myself to take a Friday night and play Baldur's Gate. I could be doing Mark, you know what I mean? But I'm like, I already worked an 8-hour day, and then I came back down after dinner and I worked 2 more hours. I can play a video game for a couple of hours. And, but that's tricky when you work from home. There's nobody to push you into that. It can be isolating. Like you said, it can be lonely. And I think even if you're an introvert, the problem is when you work in a company and you're going in and you're meeting people face to face, you're doing professional networking every day, right? Even if it's within your organization,
yes.
You're seeing your boss, you're seeing your boss's boss, you're seen, you're visible. You're the people to whom your presence matters are seeing you. But when you work from home, that's really tricky. And it can be really hard to be recognized for what you're doing, right?
Yep.
I put this as a pro, but I also put it as a con: availability to my family. I love my family and they're so important to me. But I had to, when my wife started working from, I used to sit in the living room. This wasn't for voiceover. This was for my day job. I would sit in the living room in a big chair and that's where I would do my work. And then my wife started working from home and suddenly I was being asked to empty the dishwasher or, straighten something up and I was just too available. Like it was too easy for things that needed to get done that my wife saw to ask me to do them. This is just one example, right?
Right. So the idea that just because you're at home, that somehow you're more available to not be doing your actual paid job.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And the next I have is work-life separation. Can be hard when you work from home. And maybe I think that might have been the pro that you had. It can be really hard to end your day and walk away and separate emotionally and mentally.
Yeah.
And I worked really, I was very precise and explicit about that when I still had my corporate job.
Right.
I would start at 8 and I would end at 5. If something came up, I might hang out till 5:15 or 5:30, but I was pretty, I drew that boundary and was pretty explicit about it.
Yeah. And see, that's one thing that I wasn't, that actually caused a lot of mental health issues for me in my previous career was just constantly being expected to be available at all hours, even when I was on vacation. And it was just...
That's so dumb. That's so awful. And
this happens with salaried employers, right? You're on a salary suddenly, and I remember when it happened thinking, this is great. I'm finally on salary. And this is a long time ago, but, going from an hourly rate to salary, you sort of feel like you've made it, and honestly, sometimes, like depending on the organization, sometimes it can really work against you. And it certainly did for me. So,
And the last thing I have is dedicating space in your home, because working from home, you need space and it needs to be dedicated and it needs to be space that you can leave. And that space that you could use for other things if you aren't working from home. I had to make the room that my studio is in right now, I used as a bit of a wood shop and workshop before I started doing voiceover. And I had to make a decision and I had to sort of give that space up to use it as my studio. And you saw the pictures of it as I was transforming it.
Murder room. Total murder room.
It's all cinder
block. I mean,
even
more so now that you've got like a... You got a whisper room in there too, where you wouldn't be able to hear anybody if they were screaming. So there's that.
And I got a ventriloquism doll. That was my first COVID attempt at what new thing can I learn during COVID was the ventriloquism.
Are you
kidding?
And
then it was accordion. And then I found voiceover and then just never stopped.
Yeah. Wow. That is quite the... I mean, most people are like baking. You're like ventriloquism.
But you have to remember that I was coming into COVID, coming out of being a performer and a musician and doing vaudeville type stuff. And so these were things that were very sort of natural extensions of what I was doing before.
Right.
So, yeah.
Weirdo.
But out of context, you're under quarantine. What are you going to do? I'm going to get a ventriloquism doll and an accordion.
I don't think... I thought of this before, but we have another thing in common, and that is the accordion.
Oh.
So I don't play the accordion anymore, but when I was little, when we lived in Montreal, I took accordion lessons.
Oh.
I was like a true little French Canadian, like British born, suddenly thrust into the French Canadian culture. And I don't know whose idea it was, but I feel like it must have been mine. My brother was taking guitar lessons. So, Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, now we can, yeah, we can do the Inside Voice accordion concert. I didn't get very far. I was just learning on YouTube and I was having fun with it for a few weeks. And I was posting on Instagram, I think, as I was doing it. But
that's fine.
So that's what I have for my cons.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've got my...
I hope this is helpful for people. I don't know.
Well, I feel like it's at least going to be helpful to Anton, who gave us the idea. Anybody else?
I'm finding it helpful.
I'll give you his email address. Just joking.
Yeah. I'm finding it interesting just to sit down and think through and write these things out. And,
yeah.
You,
and
you
I'm finding
I mean?
It interesting so, hearing yours, too.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead, if it's okay with you, I'm going to give you my personal top 10 tips to stay motivated, productive, and potentially less isolated. Okay. Now, this is going to vary. I mean, this is just my personal. These are the things that I do. You can do whatever you want, but I'm,
just,
you know.
Just a warning, I don't have a top. I didn't do it formatted the same way.
Okay,
but,
that's
but
fine.
But I will be happy to comment on your top 10.
We are not allowed to comment on anything.
Oh, man.
Okay, here we go. Louise's top 10 tips to stay motivated, productive, and potentially less isolated as a freelancer who also works from home. I don't know in what situation you would be a freelancer and not work from home. I guess that's just one and the same, right?
I guess if you went into a shared space thing all the time, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that wouldn't make sense doing voiceover because you need quiet.
That's true. Unless they had a booth there, you know? I don't know.
Okay, so number one is, and you covered this already kind of, but...
Wait, are you starting from number one or number 10 and working way up to number
one? I'm working up to number 10.
Okay.
So they're in no particular order of importance, actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is just how I wrote them out. So one is find a buddy that you can chat with daily, meet up with once a week, like you and I do, right?
Yeah, 100% agree with that one.
And I wrote this down, it's like having the world's best coworker, except you get to pick them and you don't have to see them every single day.
That's right. Because, oh my God forbid, if you had to hang out with me every day, I think you would kill yourself.
And you got to see all of the iterations of my weird pajamas in our video chats. Okay. Two. Now. You're going to laugh at me because I know you're Mr. Trello and Mr. whatever that thing, what Moxie that you're using. My number two is get a notebook / daily planner.
Yeah.
And write to-do lists. So I have my daily non-negotiable tasks, and ongoing lists to get at. The ongoing list is like the things to get at when things are slow.
Yeah.
And then I have my sort of non-negotiables daily tasks. So these can be, you know, I have to reach out to so-and-so, I have to do a follow-up, or I have to record X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And then my other ongoing list. But for me, physically writing things down is extremely helpful.
I like that. In fact, you know, so I invested in a Remarkable tablet. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
It's basically, it's a tablet, but it's only for writing. Like, there's no games or video or anything like that.
But you're typing it out?
No. You write it by hand with a stylus. It's like e-paper. It's a tablet, but
my greater point is, as a physical book, this is not digital at all. You're getting a physical daily planner. And I know I'm hammering this point home here, but I firmly believe in this. We're in the digital age. Everything is done that way. Like, I feel like we are tactile by nature. And for me, it honestly makes a difference. Like, I think it helps with your memory. I think it's proven that when you write things down, it helps. Like, physically have a pen in your hand and a paper to put it on.
Oh, I agree. When I was in doing theater and learning lines, I would write them down. My lines to help memorize. Yeah.
Yeah, you get out of the cerebral, and in this case, out of the digital and paper and pen. Pen to paper. Okay, so that was number two. Huh?
Okay. I was just going to say, the Remarkable is kind of the best of both worlds, because it is physical. You're writing it.
But this is my list.
Yeah, no. Right. And I'm just sharing how I...
Can you share that on your list, then?
Sure.
No, I'm just joking. Okay, so for anyone who doesn't want to listen to my stupid advice... this isn't even advice. This is just shit that works for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Number three, create a routine. And you did cover this as well. It's like, you know, get up and go to bed around the same time every day. Exercise at the same time. Eat at the same time. Like, get that routine going. It's very, very helpful. I think people are creatures of habit, and you can create healthy habits. And that goes for your work life as well. And your off time as well. Like, you know, you're creating your time off too, right? With that.
Yeah.
Number four is get outside if you can. Hopefully you're not in some kind of weird climate where going outside is going to kill you or something, but get outside every day. You need fresh air. You need the sun on your skin, or like in my situation in the PMW, like filtered through a million layers of cloud, sun on your skin. Right. Just do something to get outside every day, even if it's just for a few minutes. Super, super healthy. Five. If you find yourself getting down on yourself, try and remember how far you've come, because this happens to all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably pretty amazing if you look at it through that lens, like you're, you know, from where you were as a total beginner noob to wherever you are now, right? Like, just try and remember how far you've come. And if you are a beginner, and so you may not have that lens with this particular thing, like freelancing or voiceover. If you are a beginner and you don't have that lens, remind yourself of things that you've had to learn or overcome in the past, because likely there's a lot that you can draw on when you're feeling down like that. You can do hard things. You've done them before. Number six is... take workshops, get a coach or coaches. Pay experts for their time and expertise. They are totally worth every cent.
Mm-hmm.
You can't exist in a vacuum, in an echo chamber. You need outside perspective, and you paying people for their outside perspective when they're experts in a field is a much shorter route than trial and error on your own part, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to vary from person to person, obviously, depending on your situation. Number seven was to help prevent overwork, give yourself a hard stop and have it be a non-negotiable. So like for me, my hard stop is at the end of the day, I have a certain time, or it's a flexible time. So I say hard stop, but maybe it's actually more of a soft stop, but it's between 3:30 and 5. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes shit comes up at the end of the day and I really want to deal with it. And that's it. I stop and I get on with what I'm doing for the evening, which is usually some exercise, going for a really long walk.
Mm-hmm.
Eight is plan your time off. So for me, I plan, like, you know, I was talking about not working on the weekend, and I've realized since I had that whole lecture that... and I think I did reiterate this before, is I'm not saying you can't work on weekends. You're going to have to work on weekends, especially if you work another job. But even in my situation, and I know in yours, Brad, we probably are working on weekends fairly often. I just didn't want to glorify or say that that's, you know, the way things should be. But just from a mental health perspective and for the health of your relationships and your work-life balance, plan for time off. So for me, in particular, I try to plan one day of the weekend that is a solid day off, and plan the day. And that can look like anything. It can be like a walk in the woods with my partner or my dog, or even if you're just staying home to play video games, or I don't play video games, but you do play video games or watch movies all day. Whatever the thing is, it does not matter. Just plan on actually not working. You need that time. So that's number eight. Number nine is... and this has to do with diet, and it sounds like I don't want to lecture people on what to eat. All I'm saying is figure out like a healthy diet that works for you. So I'll give you my example. For me, not having starches and carbohydrates, carbohydrate-like heavy meals during the morning and afternoon. So we're talking like sandwiches, sushi, pasta, cereal, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That keeps me from getting that like afternoon, late morning brain fog, fatigue, like where you feel dopey and sleepy. That has changed my life, honestly. That's my thing. So I always save those kinds of meals until the evening. But find what works for you. Like, look at your diet and how it might be affecting your energy levels, because you need to be able to concentrate and not, you're going to get way more distracted if you're tired or if you're, you know, your blood sugar's crashing or any of those things, right? So it's way more important than people give it credit, I feel like. And then number 10 is be customer service driven, because here's the thing. We, as voice actors, when you're at the beginning of this, we all sort of start off thinking and like dreaming about being a voice actor. And we think about like the cartoons and the animation and the big, whatever sort of like ideal image you have in your mind of what voice actors do, which is like nothing like what most of us do. But at the end of the day, you're providing a service. So like making your customers happy.
Yeah,
that is not only going to drive your business forward and make it sustainable, it takes it from being the self-focused thing to something that is outside of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can be of service to others, you'll sort of naturally begin and continue to be the best version of yourself, which in turn is going to help you stay motivated, focused, and kind of connected to the point of it all, really. You're being of service to others is what you're doing. Yeah. So that's my top 10 tips.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Hey, no worries.
I love that. And I try to do all those things. I like ending the day is hard for me. Well, I don't know. I try and finish at 5, but sometimes things leak over and I'm down here till 6, but sometimes it's 4 o'clock and I've done all the things I need to do and I can go upstairs and spend an hour with my wife that I wouldn't have gotten to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a struggle, but yeah, that's great. So cool. I focus more on the tools that I use. So this, I think this kind of complements wealth. I like that your list was about strategies that you use and mine is going to be more about the tools and the software that I use to kind of keep myself focused.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of something that is more helpful to you, and you tend to lean in that direction anyway, whereas I run from those things.
So, that's fair.
But I would love to hear your list of tools of software stuff. Yeah.
First is a hammer.
Nice.
Yeah. First I think this almost goes without saying in this day and age, but Google Suite and Google Drive. I don't think any of us could even get by without them. I don't know how we did.
What's Google Drive? I'm just kidding.
Okay. I'm like, what? Really?
No, we have a little sheet in our Google.
I was going to say, for this podcast.
It's the only thing I use it for, though. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking.
And then, WeTransfer. WeTransfer, yeah. I tend to use Google Drive more. Because I have the master directory that my DAW saves to is on Google Drive. So I have access to it on my desktop and in Google Drive. So anything I render out from Reaper automatically is on Google Drive. So then it's
I'm just going to pause right there.
Yeah.
Anybody who's not a voice actor doesn't understand what Brad just said. His DAW is Reaper. So his digital audio workstation is
the
called Reaper.
Software.
It's an editing software, recording software.
Yeah.
And you're talking about how you save and send files to clients, basically,
yes, that's right?
Right. And so you're saying you're doing it through the Google Drive. I'm saying for large files, I use WeTransfer.
Exactly right.
Just to clear that up for anybody who was like, I'm sorry, could you speak English, please, Brad? Please continue.
I don't know if I've mentioned my Remarkable tablet at all in this episode or not, but I love my Remarkable tablet because it is the act of physically writing things out with a pen But it saves it digitally, and I don't have to keep getting new notebooks, and you know, and they get wrinkled, and then that bugs me. And,
I love a wrinkled notebook. I love looking back over the year at like my full notebook, and then getting a freshie in January or at the end of December. I love it.
I like it. Yeah, but this is what works for me.
Yeah,
I use Trello for task organization. Trello is a what's it called? There's a Japanese word for it.
Origami?
Yeah, no.
Arigato.
But you basically, you write your tasks. You have columns for your tasks.
Those were actual Japanese words I just said, by the way.
Yes, they were. That is true. And then you create cards for each task, and then you move them from column to column. So I have three boards that it's like Kona board or something. Darn it, why can't I remember? I have my the simplest one I have is my in and out task list. So I have a task list of things when I do when I first get into my studio and sit down in the morning, and then a list of things that I do at the end of the day to sort of close out the day. I also have a production flow. So when I get a new job, I create a card for it, and then it goes from booked to in production to, I don't remember what they are exactly. I can look it up actually, if anybody's interested. From booked to in production to production completed to revision to delivered to accepted to build to paid to complete. So then I can tell where any job is that I have just by looking at this board and seeing where the.
That's great. I might pick your brain a bit more about that when
we're
not.
Yeah. I like it. It really works well for me to keep, especially when you get busy, right? Like you have a bunch of jobs and, you know, I'm always afraid of dropping the ball or forgetting about
something. Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And then I have what I call my today, tomorrow, today to done list. So it's similar to what you have, but the to-do list is just like all the stuff. Anything I can think of that needs to get done, I put it in my to-do list. The tomorrow list, I move things in there that are things that are like short range that I need to get done, but they don't have to get done today.
Okay.
And the things I have to do today, which I'm not as good about as I should be, those get moved into my today list. And then once I've done them, I move them to the to-done list, and then I archive the to-done list.
I love it. It's to-done list. That's great.
Yeah.
To do, to done.
That was actually Liam's idea.
Really?
He came up with a to do, today, to done, and I added tomorrow.
That's
just because
fantastic.
I needed something in between.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's fun to say and keeps me organized. To do, tomorrow, today, to done.
That's weird that he's your son. He sounds so smart.
He is smart. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Then Moxie is, I've talked about that on the podcast. I know this is a brand new tool for me, and it took me a little while and a little brain rending to get it set up just the way I like it, but I love it. And I've started using it. So if you're my client and we've decided that I'm going to do a job for you, I send you an email that takes you to a form that you just fill out the form with all of the details that I need. When you submit that, it creates a project for me, and then I can manage that project within Moxie, and we can message back and forth. Well, it's connected to my email, so I can message my clients in Moxie without all of the other email stuff getting bogged in, mixed into it. And then when I finish the job, I can deliver it and then send the invoice directly from Moxie, and that's tied to my PayPal and Square, and so it's all just this nice project management flow from beginning to from booking to invoicing, and even then it gives me an opportunity, you know, in the final email and the invoice to share a link to my Google. Google ratings, so you can, you know, hopefully give me some stars for Google.
This kind of sounds amazing. Maybe I should hire you
and LinkedIn
to set it up for me, because
maybe helping you do it would be a good trial run.
Yeah.
To see, because this is a tool that I haven't heard of any other voice actor is using. And it, like I said, it took me a bit to figure out how to get it to set up to do all of this. Like,
I know I was poo-pooing it before, but it's not, I'm actually never poo-pooing any ideas or things that you are looking into. What I'm poo-pooing, it's like a deflection of my own inability to concentrate hard enough to figure it out. And the rage that it causes me to have to even.
And I think that all stems from anxiety about things like that, right? And that's totally fair.
Yeah, and just learning abilities and like where you lean in terms of just things that you're good at and things that you're not. And I'm just not good at those kinds of things. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
I feel like some people have a natural aptitude, or maybe they've been working in a field where they do a lot of that kind of thing. Like, I think that's probably the case with you, probably both of those things. But
yeah.
I am neither.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely an advantage and a privilege. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The next tool I've got on my list is Nimble, which is a CMS, a client management system. And I use that to keep track of all my leads, all the clients that I'm currently connected to or whatever. I do all of my email marketing through Nimble. Are Nimble and Moxie redundant in some ways? But I'm using them for very different things.
Like, it's too bad somebody hasn't come up with something that will just wrap all that into one. That's what drives me mental, because I'm like, I don't want all these things.
I kind of prefer them to be separate, because I'm using them for separate things, right? Like, Nimble I'm using just to keep everybody in, and I have automated using the workflows in Nimble to make it very efficient to do my email marketing every week.
Yeah.
But then Moxie I'm using, once we've made a connection, we'll switch over to Moxie, and it's a whole different environment. So it does make sense. I also use Voice Overview, and that's something I think you and I have talked about. I love Voice Overview. You basically enter in theory, you could enter every audition you do, every job you book, and it's almost like a CMS. Again, it feels redundant to Trello, Moxie and Nimble, but again, it's its own thing. It tracks all of your stats, so I can tell you how much I booked this month, how much I booked last month. I can tell you how much I booked last year to date. Year, say month, I can tell you that my revenue is 200%, and this is true, 200% improved over year to date last year at the same time. I also book all of my expenses there. So I can tell you.
Well, for me, I have, I bought like a big spreadsheet thing specifically for Canadian small businesses through from a seller on Etsy. That's been great for me.
Yeah, that's great.
But it sounds very similar.
I think the main difference, it probably is very similar. The main difference is this is set up as a web app. So it's all sort of, you don't see all the data. You're just entering it. I mean, you can see all of the jobs that you've done and everything like that, but it's not a spreadsheet. It's all, there's a nice interface to it is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Got it.
Yeah. But in either case, either way, I think it's super important to be tracking your business like that, to know how much money you're making, how much money you're spending, how much better or worse you're doing than last year.
Absolutely.
Which clients are your top 10 clients, right? Where is your money coming from? Where is your money going? And what are the trends? Super important to be able to manage your progress.
Absolutely.
I use Adobe Express a lot. Most people use, what is it called? Where the web app that you use to make little signs and thumbnails. And,
I use Canva Pro.
Yeah, that's it. Most people use Canva. I don't know how I started using Adobe Express. It used to be called Adobe Spark. It's the same thing.
I used to use Adobe Spark.
You did.
And I like Canva. But now that I have the Pro, Canva Pro, obviously to pay for the Pro, but I really like Canva Pro over Adobe.
I use the paid Adobe Express and I really like it. I don't know that it's better. I've never really used Canva, so I can't say better or worse. I don't know. I think it's one of those things, whichever you know better is the one that's going to work better for you. Sort of
totally.
Thing. And then I use Headliner. I really like Headliner a lot for specific things. I know some of the clips from this show. I posted it on social media. It's basically a tool that allows you to take a picture and an audio clip, and then it plays the audio clip over the picture, and you can have it do the little sound waves.
Right.
That's a really good way of presenting audio online, and I use that for lots of stuff.
Cool.
I also use it. They have a new podcasting tool, and I've been experimenting with it for this podcast, and I haven't really talked to you about this, actually. It uses AI. It basically, you feed it your podcast episode and it listens to it and it writes up a description of the podcast. It gives you all the links to the podcast.
Oh, we need this.
It gives you a blog post that you can post about the podcast. And of course, I go through and I rewrite stuff to make it human and to make sure that it makes sense and it's real. But if you look on the first...
Oh, yeah. You use it as a tool and then you...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you
but
tweak
you'll
it.
See if you look on the website now at the InsideVoicePodcast.com. I think the first and episode 9 and maybe 8, you'll see that the postings there are much longer blog posts because I've leveraged the assistance from
Headliner. That's fantastic.
To do
what
that.
A great tip. And thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing those things on the back end.
Hey, thanks for making us sound good.
Hey. Well, you know, I have to also thank my partner because I don't do it alone, right? I mean, I do as much as I can. And then when I hit a roadblock, I'm like, babe, I need help.
Yeah.
And then he helps. So
that's what I've got for my tools that I use.
Those were great. Thank you so much. I'm so resistant to things like that, as I've said a million times, but I found myself wanting to take notes on what you were saying. And I'm going to listen to that. Once we put the episode out, I'll listen to it again.
Cool.
And
I'd be open to working with you and just sort of stepping through the setup of Moxie if you're interested.
Yeah,
I think that's something that might be valuable to people that I could look at. Just finding a way to help people do that.
Almost as like a virtual assistant kind of thing, but specifically for people in our field, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean?
No, I mean just helping them set up that Moxie app.
Oh, that specifically, yeah.
Yeah, to work well for voiceover for what we do.
Yeah, right? You don't have time to be someone's VA.
No.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
So that's that. Cool. I think we covered all the stuff we were hoping to, right?
We did. I loved Anton's suggestion. It obviously gave us a lot to discuss and think about and share. Yeah. So thanks again, Anton.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, if anyone out there has any other suggestions, for topics that you'd like to hear us discuss, let us know. Connect at theinsidevoicepodcast.com.
I don't know what is wrong with me with that.
There's nothing wrong with
connect
me.
Connect at the inside void. The inside void. I feel like
that's
was
a different
Freudian
podcast,
slip.
But I think I would like to do
the
that.
The inside void. Okay. So now we're at the end here, and let's do, so the tagline that he sent us to, Anton Gill sent us to.
Before we get to that, I just want to say one more time, if you like what we're doing, if you want to hear more of it, if you want us to keep going, please subscribe and leave us a review.
That and even awesome. If you don't, but you just feel sorry for us. Okay.
Yeah. So Anton's closing tagline, he actually gave us two and we're going to talk about one today.
Just do one. Just do the first one.
Okay.
Cause I love them both. So let's do the first one.
You want to do the first half?
So the first half, I'll whisper and then you say the second half and then we're
done.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
Inside voice.
Amplifying introverted voices.
Yay!
Thanks,
Anton.
Thanks, Anton. You're the best.
All right. Well, thanks again, Brad.
And, yeah, great talking to you.
Yeah, I'm heading for a hike. We're recording this on a Friday, and I'm going to get out into the forest and go for a nice long hike with my good friend Amy and my little dog, Danny.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Please enjoy it. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Bye, Louise.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Inside Voice. If you have a topic suggestion, a question, or would like to challenge your introverted self by being interviewed on the podcast, email us at connect@theinsidevoicepodcast.com.